welcome to episode 2 of the Mac Tarts podcast from Envato, sponsored by Pixelmator. Pixelmator is an inspiring, easy-to-use, beautifully designed image editor built to help you create stunning new images and edit your existing photos. And Jordan and I use Pixelmator all the time. We really do, don't we, Jordan?
Absolutely. I find it a fantastic app.
Okay, Pixelmator 2.2 available now in the Mac App Store, or check out pixelmator.com. Jordan, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we're going to talk all about passwords and the best way to create them and manage them.
Okay, so passwords, in this age of computers, passwords are somewhat of a necessary evil, really, aren't they? How has it come to this?
Well, we use our computer for pretty much everything from storing photos to using it as a means of accessing our bank accounts and saving all sorts of, you know, confidential information. So we need to make sure all of this is secure in some way. And a popular way of doing this is having a password, whether it's on our computer, our email accounts, or our banking system. Having a secure password is just required so that it avoids prying eyes from accessing our personal information.
Okay, well, that all sounds relatively easy. I could do the same as my father. I could use the same password for everything, right?
I would never recommend using the same password. Unfortunately, whilst it sounds more convenient for us, at least, if you use the same password and you accidentally give that out, or you find a website you were using it with gets hacked in some way, which has happened quite regularly in the last couple of years, that one password is out in the open for other people to use, which means they have access to all of the other websites and systems that you had access to.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's an interesting point. You make the point that some websites have been hacked, and some pretty big names as well. LinkedIn, 5th of June 2012, let 6.5 million passwords out into the open, or rather somebody got hold of them. Last FM, there's been dating sites as well, some fairly big names. So what you're saying then is, if my password is on one of those lists with one particular website, if I'm using it elsewhere, then I'm going to be vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the password that's the issue if that gets out there as well. If you're using the same password for the same website, for different websites, then it stands to reason you're probably using the same username as well. And if they've got your password, they may have your email address, which means it doesn't take a hacker too much time to find out what you use and get access to your email account. And from there, they can pretty much reset anything they want to.
So essentially, once they've got access to my email account, if they have my email address and password, they can completely take control of my digital life.
Absolutely. Everything runs through your email account in a way. So if you have a Twitter account, a Facebook account, and as you mentioned before, LinkedIn, all of that requires validation with an email address. And if you click on the reset password link, for example, that goes and sends an email to your email address. And if that's been compromised, then it won't take somebody long to reset your password for other websites that they may not access and change it to something that they know, therefore gaining access. So
let's just pause there for a moment, Jordan, and let me think about this in my own mind. If somebody gains access to my email, they can essentially change my password on my email, and then whatever other accounts they're able to access that are validated with my email address, potentially they could go and change all the logins for my other accounts and essentially lock me out. There's nothing I could do.
Absolutely, and especially with an iCloud account, for example, if you were using a particularly weak password or the same password for many websites and someone accessed your iCloud account, if you use an iOS or or a Mac device, you're probably using the Find My iPhone or Find My Mac feature, which allows you to remotely wipe a device. So that would allow somebody to remotely wipe your computer without you even realizing until it's too late. So it's absolutely vital that that password be not only secure, but try not to, obviously don't have them the same as any other website passwords or service passwords.
Well, this is really getting pretty heavy, pretty serious, pretty quickly. And now I'm quite worried for my father, who uses the same password for pretty much everything he does. Passwords, it's a problem for us, really, isn't it? If I start thinking about how many different services I use, you know, email, work email, banking, WordPress site login, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, there's probably more passwords than even services that I can think of off the top of my head. Passwords, it's a real problem, isn't it? Why is it such a problem for us?
Well, the problem is with all these passwords that we need to set, the ideal solution is we have a different secure password for every single service. And as you just said, you mentioned a good number of services there. Trying to remember a completely random password that we've set for each of them it's hard work. And the only way we can remember things is if we tend to write them down or save them somewhere. Obviously, you don't want to just write passwords down on a scrap of paper. That will allow anyone else who walks past your desk just to easily access your bank account.
What, you mentioned random passwords there, Jordan. What's wrong with words like elephant? That's not random.
Well, the problem with words is that they're based in a dictionary, which means one of the popular ways or one of the common ways of trying to break into a password is to run some sort of computer program that just goes through words in the dictionary. So if you use elephant or, you know, aardvark or whatever, then eventually that's going to crop up in a dictionary search. And, you know, give someone enough time, they will get access to a user account or to your password. A random password is something that you would not have thought of, and it's something that's completely unique, and it's probably never been created before. This means that there is no ties to anything else. One of the really worrying things that a lot of people do is use a surname or a maiden name or a friend's name. We even use these on security questions.
Hang on. Yeah, my bank uses my mother's maiden name as a security feature. But then so does the other bank, and so does my business bank. And, you know, suddenly all these people know the same piece of valuable information.
Well, one of the problems with using a maiden name or anything like that is, if I was to be friends with you on Facebook, then it's not going to take me too much time to find out what your mother's maiden name was.
It is, to be fair, Jordan, I'm not on Facebook, but I take the point.
It's exactly like that. So it's something where, you know, if you were on Facebook and you had all this personal information, and depending on how we use Facebook, a lot of people put a lot of personal information on. So if you use a best friend's name or a high school name, that's not going to take too much time to find. And our tip with these security questions is, they don't necessarily need to be true. You don't need to use your mother's maiden name. You could use, probably wouldn't recommend it, but you could use elephant for that, for example. You don't need to use Mrs. X or Mrs. Y. You can put whatever you want there.
Okay, so that's in terms of some sort of validation security question. But in terms of logging into my email, for example, or into another website, into an e-commerce website, for example, you're suggesting that I don't use a dictionary word because that would exist on a word list that hackers would have, and they could hack that password pretty much instantaneously. So if I'm not going to use the word elephant, could I use 313PH4NT, for example? Is that any good?
Absolutely. Alphanumeric passwords, which means mixing letters and numbers together, is a very secure way of doing it. It's not perfect, and a lot of websites, including iCloud and Apple IDs in general, actually are now enforcing it's not just letters and numbers. You need to use at least one special character, which means something like a comma or an apostrophe or a hash symbol, as well as a capital letter. So mixing all of these together allow for a truly secure password. So if you were to use elephant 99, for example, but you replace the first letter with a capital E and then the P with a number 4, for example, that is a lot more secure than just using elephant 99 that was in lowercase with none of these special symbols. It's extra security, extra layers of security. These numbers, these capital letters all add another set of characters that are we used within the password?
Well, that's interesting, because whilst you've been telling me about that, I've just done a little test to see how secure those passwords are. The password elephant would be cracked by a desktop PC. An average desktop PC would crack that pretty much instantaneously. If you were to go with the suggestion you've made just there of elephant, replace one of the letters with a number and then have a couple of numbers on the end, or maybe a piece of punctuation, that would take a desktop PC about 6 years to crack the password. So we've gone from instantly to 6 years. Add a piece of punctuation, it takes it to about 7,000 years. So already we can see how much more secure passwords can become from the recommendations that you've given there. But given that you've said I shouldn't be using the same password for everything, I'm only human. I can't remember all these unique passwords for all the different websites, all the different email and services that I use. What's the answer there? How am I expected to remember all of that?
Well, thankfully, there are a few applications out there that work in a very secure way to save you the hassle of remembering all these passwords. They're called password managers, and there's quite a few out there. The most popular one that many of our listeners would have heard of would be 1Password, made by a company called AgileBits. And this allows you to store your password securely on your Mac, which can then sync to your iOS devices. Effectively, it's a little black book of passwords that is password protected by another password. So your passwords are protected by yet another password. The benefit of this is you only need to remember the 1Password. Still make sure it's a very secure password, so using just Elephant to encrypt it isn't the best option. And make sure it's a different password from your Mac. This way, if someone breaks into your Mac using your user account password, they don't get access to your password list. And these allow you to save all your passwords in a little secure file that even if someone was to copy to a USB stick, couldn't access without this password. And it saves you the hassle of remembering all these passwords. And these password managers will also generate the passwords for you as well. And they will look completely unrecognizable. You couldn't understand them at all, just completely random characters, letters, symbols, all mixed together. But the benefit of this is you never even know them, but the password manager stores them so you can use them in the future.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting, and I'd like to explore that a little more with you. Just having an application there with 1Password that I need to remember, and that application is going to remember the rest of my passwords for me.
Absolutely. I'm one of those people who unfortunately were guilty of using the same password for many websites. And yes, I know I shouldn't have. And it was because of one of these websites problems where websites' unencrypted password list got out in the wild that I thought probably should change that. So I started to use 1Password more seriously. I'd actually looked at it before, but thought, well, my password's pretty secure. I'll be okay. But it's not me that was the problem. In the end, it ended up being a website that wasn't secure enough. I now have 402 passwords, individual passwords, in my 1Password list. I probably couldn't tell you any of them apart from, say, my iCloud password. Not that I'd tell you them anyway, but all of these have been completely generated at random. So I wouldn't know any of these. I'd have to reset the passwords, but 1Password saves them for me, and I know each one of them is completely different from another, and they're very long passwords, very complicated.
Okay, that sounds interesting stuff, and I'd like to learn more about that in a second. But just after I say thanks very much to the guys at Pixelmator for sponsoring this episode of the Mac Tuts podcast. Pixelmator takes full advantage of the latest Mac technologies, giving you speedy, powerful tools that let you touch up and enhance images, draw or paint, apply gorgeous effects, and just have fun with your pictures. Once your images are ready, access them anywhere with iCloud, send them to iPhoto or Aperture, email, print, or save them to popular image formats, or share them through Facebook, that thing that I don't have, but you probably do. Flickr, I've got that, and more. Really check it out, Pixelmator 2.2 on the Mac App Store. Thanks to the guys at Pixelmator for sponsoring us. £10.49. You really should have this as one of your apps on OS X. Jordan, you mentioned one password there, which is sounding really interesting. I couldn't remember 402 websites that I visit, let alone 402 complex passwords to go with them. Tell me a little bit more about how one password will work for somebody like me who's you know, wanting to be secure online and, you know, now knowing that I shouldn't be using the same password for everything. How do I get up and running with 1Password?
Sure. So 1Password is available through both the Mac App Store and directly through the agilebits.com website. It's a paid-for app. It's usually about $35, and it's worth every penny, in all honesty. It works by integrating with your browser. So whether you're using Safari or Chrome or Firefox, there is an extension that is installed with your browser. So when you type in a password that you log into, for example, you log into Facebook, it will prompt you, would you like to save this password within 1Password? Now, this goes far beyond the default browser that you use and the options to save passwords. Usually, they're not very good. They don't always detect you entering a password. 1Password remembers not only pretty much any password you can throw at it in terms of a password field, it'll remember all these extra options such as security questions, any other fields that might need to be ticked as well. And when it saves it directly into the 1Password database for you to reuse again. So the next time you go to the website, you don't need to even type in the password. You simply click on the browser extension, or you can use a keyboard shortcut and just log straight in. No password required. It will just log you in by auto-completing the password and the username information for you automatically. So you don't need to do anything like that.
So this app is going to accommodate websites where the login criteria are slightly more complex than just the straight username password or email address password. If you need to select another field, for example, or put in another piece of information, it will accommodate those, won't it?
Yes, definitely. It won't accommodate rolling changes. So, for example, a bank account that asks you for, say, your third and fifth digit for your PIN number, and then it changes to another second and sixth, for example. It won't be able to accommodate those. But if you've got a username, a account number, and a password, for example, so there's three things to fill in, it can accommodate that as well. It can even, when you're signing up to a website, for example, if you're signing up to Twitter and you complete all the information with your email address, your security question answers, any other options that you may set, it will remember them as well. It may not need to use them to fill in a login field, but it will remember them and save them for you. So if you can't remember what you set for your mother's maiden name, if you've used a random word or a random selection of characters to complete that, 1Password will remember that as well. Again, I use that for my bank. So my bank don't actually know what my mother's maiden name is. It's just a random collection of letters and numbers. So if I ever call the bank, it's open 1Password first, find out what I gave them, and then if I need to speak to them over the phone, I've got that information to hand through 1Password.
Okay. I don't really want to turn this podcast into an advert for 1Password. Is that the only password manager that's available?
No, not at all. There's quite a number of password managers available. There's another one called LastPass as well, which is a little newer than 1Password. There's also a couple of others. There's KeePassX, for example, another popular password manager. I think you may know a little bit more about these than I do, actually. So are these are applications you've used before?
LastPass is one that's pretty popular, I think, with PC users. I think it's a browser-based password manager that saves the information to a database. I think their subscription or their pricing model is slightly different. Rather than being a one-off price, I think there's a free version and there's it's sort of the freemium model. You get a paid-for version as well. If you're wanting to use something like this but, you know, don't have the budget to do it, then KeePassX, it's not the prettiest application on the Mac, but it's functional. It does its job. It's able to generate very secure passwords, mixtures of letters, characters, special characters, numbers. You can tell it to include spaces even. which, you know, a lot of people don't consider can be part of a password, and that saves it to a key pass database file, which, you know, you can share across different platforms. So you can use it on Mac, on Windows, on Linux, even on your iPhone and iPad. And KeyPass X, if you look at that one, that is a no-cost solution if you're wanting to get into using more secure passwords. So that's three to have a look at already. Is Apple doing anything in this area?
Yes, yeah, so they recently announced during their presentation of the new Mavericks operating system, iCloud Keychain, a new feature of iCloud. This is going to be a password manager, similar to 1Password in a way, and LastPass, where when you complete a username and password field, it will save it. Some people may have already seen this in Safari on iOS and Safari for the Mac, but it's going to be a lot more souped up. It's going to be able to save more information and sync it between devices, and it will also work on the Mac. So if you enter a password for your Twitter account on the Mac in Safari, if you go to your iOS device and try and log into the same Twitter account through the web browser there, you will be able to. It's also going to save credit card information and other bits of information that you may require as well. So anyone who's looking to get into password management but doesn't necessarily have the budget, iCloud Keychain is due to arrive later this year, so it's definitely something to look forward to as well.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, is this a distinct advantage for Apple, the fact that they're able to synchronize passwords across devices? That sounds pretty handy if you're a Mac user and you've got an iPad and iPhone as well.
It definitely is. In fact, it will be a very popular tool, I'm sure, because it's built into the Mac. It's built into iCloud for the iOS devices. However, devices, applications, sorry, such as 1Password, can synchronize via Dropbox. They can synchronize not only between Mac and iOS, but 1Password is available for Windows. So if you have a work PC where you may need to use that on a day-to-day basis, you can have 1Password on there. Provided you've got Dropbox set up, you can have your passwords on there as well. So you're not limited to just one platform. 1Password and applications like LastPass are also a bit more versatile. For example, I use 1Password to store all my serial numbers for software back from when I used to purchase things before the App Store or items that aren't available on the App Store. And 1Password can save that as well.
Okay. Now, I'm thinking of those times when perhaps I don't have a device with me or I'm using somebody else's machine that doesn't have Dropbox installed. So maybe I don't have access to my extremely complex passwords. Trying to remember a mixture of letters and numbers could be pretty difficult. Is there an easier way to generate secure passwords? Something that easier for me to remember, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned before that it's not common knowledge, but you can use spaces in passwords for most websites and most services. So if you find yourself without a computer, or, you know, in other words, you find yourself without your dedicated device that you'd save your password on, you can use a common phrase or a phrase that you will know and remember. So a common one that was on a popular webcomic called XKCD was a comic detailing that using a phrase is probably more beneficial to us and more secure. So a phrase such as correct horse battery staple doesn't sound like much, but if you can come up with a thought of what that might look like, that tends to stick in your head a little more. So if you use that, that's a lot easier to remember. You can then write that down, you know, keep that safe, type it into your 1Password on your device, or at least remember it until you get back to a computer that you can save it onto.
Okay, so what you're saying there, really, you can gain security with passwords by remembering a phrase, a number of words, including spaces, rather than trying to remember 20-odd complex letters, special characters, and capitalization, and still get the same or a similar level of security.
Yeah, so that password that we just mentioned then, correct horse battery staple, using the same calculator that tells you how secure a password is, it says it's 54 decillion years, or decillion years, so that's a lot more secure than our Elephant 99 password we mentioned earlier.
So how can I go about finding out how secure a password such as correct horse battery staple might be. And what I'm thinking here is, given that that was on a web comic, a lot of people might be using that, and the hackers are probably caught onto it as well. So it's perhaps not the best phrase to use. But perhaps if I went with Hugh, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble and Grub, that might be fairly secure. How would I go about checking how secure my phrase is?
Sure. So there's a website called, uninspiringly, howsecureismypassword.net. And this allows you to enter a particular password or phrase to get an idea of how secure it is. Now, it is a website. So as much as it says it's not going to be taking your password or anything, treat it as though it's suspicious. So don't enter a password you're going to use. Whilst the website probably just doesn't do anything with your passwords or save them at all, you don't know that for 100%. So if you're looking to use, say, correct horse battery staple or a variant of that, enter something with the same number of characters or similar words, not what you're going to use, and it'll still give you a general idea. And that can tell you how secure your password is. If you'd like, there is actually built into 1Password a password generator. And it's built into the other password managers as well. And you can enter your own password into these password generators, and it will give you some feedback about how good the password is. Usually red, amber, green, denoting whether it's a poor password, an average one, or a strong password. So those apps tend to have something you can check as well, which are inherently more secure, something you can grab a password from, but also something you can check a password with as well.
Okay, so what you're saying then is if I'm at a computer where I don't have access to any of these applications, I can use a website such as howsecureismypassword.net and enter something similar to what I want to use, same sort of format, same number of letters, characters, to get an idea of how secure it is. But ideally, if I'm using a piece of software such as 1Password or KeyPassX, that will have an ability to generate secure passwords for me and to tell me how secure those passwords are as well.
Absolutely. So the password generators in these types of apps are very good, and they're designed to create as a secure password as possible based on any criteria you provide it.
And the advantage of those being that they're not this website, and so I can trust those apps much more than I can trust a website that I'm going to in order to work out the security of a password. I mean, it may be that websites are actually gathering passwords, they're harvesting passwords by pretending to be a service rather than the hackers that they are potentially.
Exactly. So these password generators will make sure that it's not only a password that's secure, but because you've never seen it, you're less likely to use a password that you may have used previously or something similar. So a common thing that a lot of people will do is when they're asked for a new password is just add a number 1 to the end of it or a different digit at the end as well, which, you know, it's a good way of generating a new password without having to remember a new one. But if someone knows your old password, then it wouldn't take much more effort to find out this new one.
Okay. Now, I think I should just clarify, since we've mentioned how secure is mypassword.net, when you do visit the site, it does actually warn you not to type in your passwords into sites like that, because it could be that those sites are just harvesting people's passwords. I've no reason to believe that this particular website is doing that. They say they're not, and, you know, I take them on face value for that. But I wouldn't go entering my passwords into this. I just use it as to give me an idea of how secure something is. And my example of Hugh, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble and Grub, that would take 179 novum decillion years. I must be a long time, because I can barely say novum decillion. It would take a desktop PC, 179 of those, to crack my password, and I believe that to be an awful long time, so it's sounding pretty secure to me. But I could then go and use KeyPassX or 1Password to check to see what they say, how secure that is. Okay, Jordan, thanks very much for worrying me, quite frankly, about passwords and password security. I'm off now to update all of my passwords for the websites that I use, but not before saying thank you to Pixelmator for sponsoring this episode 2 of the Mac Tuts podcast. Go and check out Pixelmator. Version 2.21 is out now, using all of today's OS X technologies to make your image editing even faster and more enjoyable. It's now twice as fast. It can open and save your Pixelmator documents twice as fast as compared with the previous Pixelmator file format. It saves in the background, meaning you can play with the images and not lose your progress. Faster saving to iCloud. It's just a fantastic piece of software. No need for some of the big name heavyweights when Pixelmator can do it for you for £10.49. In dollars, that's not very much at all. What is that? Probably about $15 or $16. It really should be an app that you have on your Mac. Jordan, say goodnight.
Good night.
Thanks very much for listening.
Apple Macintosh.